Turn to Book of Matthew, chapter 7, reading verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few that are there be that find it. So as the Sermon on the Mount coming to the end, the Lord is now giving the instructions to his disciples. So all these three chapters so far, what the Lord has spoken to them in its principles, a relationship with God and relationship with man, and how they need to maintain those two important commandments in their now the new dispensation after his departure from the earth. And the Lord has now the Lord was instructing that you will find two ways. One is the narrow, and the way is very narrow, and on the other one is very broad. And also the consequences of walking in those ways also the Lord has spoken to them. So these two verses, when I was newly born again, oftentimes I heard it was interpreted and communicated to the many unbelievers. So I don't think that is the right way the Lord was meaning here. So after we went through the chapters of 5, 6 and 7, and now as we are now reaching near to the end of this chapter, the Lord was speaking that whatever the matter, the principles which I have laid down before you, after you came out from the Mosaic way of following, now as you already accepted and are already in following with me, so in future you will find these things, these two ways. And he was cautioning them then how they would find and what they need to do. So it is for the believers, those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal savior, and who claims that they are truly born again and sins are forgiven and they love the Lord, and to them the Lord was addressing this. And now in these two things, one he said, enter ye in at the straight gate, and for wide is the narrow gate and broad is the way, and the leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go thereat. So the Lord is starting at the end point. So that is normally the road leads to the gate, and that is the gate is the place where you enter into your destination, and the roads are you're already in, and ultimately you walk in the road and finally you reach at the gate, and the gate will be open and you will enter into your destination point. And as the disciples were already in on the road, their onward journey, they already began with the Lord. So the Lord was referring to that starting with gates. But he also explained on the way, what is the way which is connected. And the way is one is a narrow way and the another one is a broad way. And the narrow way is something which leadeth unto life. So the end point is when the gate is opened after the traveling in the narrow gate, it reaches to the life. And the second one is, and the broad is the way, and it leadeth to destruction. So that is going to be bringing them into problems, and there will be greater disappointments. Or it may say, we may say, it is one is the way where they will end up into glory, light, and the purity and the holiness of God. And the second one is the destruction, is the darkness, disappointments, and still separation from God's glorious presence. And that may be the difference. That may be the difference. But in these two verses, we see when a person need to enter, it is very narrow, and that is going to be very difficult to walk. And it is said in the verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. The straight gate is meaning, I just looked into that, it said the pressed in way. So it is not something you will just simply able to walk. You need to press into walking, or that is the way. Or it is written properly, that is one meaning, or narrow, or closely defined path God ordains to travel on to gain his approval. So it is a defined path of God, and so that when we walk in that way, we will find God's approval to reach into his ultimate purposes at the end of our destination. So that is the meaning of the straight gate. And as the Broadway is, we don't need to even explain, that is all where we are all living in the world. That is when we see it, that it explains. But when we have to walk in, it is always a very uphill task. And in uphill task, there is an exertion. So it is not something that you can continue to, you will find a way and you will walk. And a long time I read the book of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and in that one that he explains this. And I believe that is the true thing for every believer, those who wanted to walk in that manner. And you will find very barely people who wanted to follow or join with you to walk in that path. And that is how it is oftentimes very solitary and uphill task. And you all always feel many disappointments on the way. And also when the more you make the determination to keep the narrow way as your goal, to reach into that gate, finally into a large, spacious, glorious light and the life place. And you will find it as you, in the beginning, to the, once you reach to the later point and further points, you will find it much more and more difficult. And that is why he said, there are few who will find that. That means it is not easy. So though many of us have the understanding, and also we know the goalposts and the way the road goes and everything, we are aware, but still we do not find many people, as many as have already known the things as a knowledge, but practically we don't find as many people to walk in those paths. Because there is not so much of enthusiasm to see the things which are not seen by the visual eyes. And that is a continual problem. But those who have separated and wanted to pursue the things of the Lord, and the way the Lord has defined the way for us, in those three chapters, and those principles, when a man desires to have even the simplest thing to show obedience in every matter, and the Lord helps them. And the Lord looks for that kind of a earnest, desirous, honest, truthful heart to lead them and guide them. And it is not that they overcome all the time, but there is a genuine, honest interest in their hearts that I need to follow the principles of God which are there in the scripture completely, in a totality. And people will discourage us that it cannot be reached and it is very difficult. Or we try to find a justification that why I am not able to do. And they don't give any justifying reasons why they are not doing. They will always say, they will always go back to God and confess their fallen nature, what is work in them. And there is a depravity of the nature and continue to work against the godly principles. And there is a natural attraction for the things which we see. There is a desire, longing desire to enjoy the things of the world and the earth. And there is a interest in the many matters which are surrounding us. And also we have, we don't want to go by or walk by faith, but and we want to walk by sight so that everything we know, wanted to know by reasoning, black and white, very clear, understanding, everything. So we don't want to walk in a path which we don't know at all. So everything, if it is not convenient to follow the precepts of the Lord, then we just put it aside. But we don't make a determination that these are the things which the Lord is speaking to me, that the way I must walk in relation to God and in relation to man, I must adhere to those principles. Every day I must make an attempt and seek the power from the Spirit and the light from the Word, and also examples of my Lord Jesus Christ, the way he tread his life path while he was here. And I should not find any justifying reasons why I am not doing. And I am not talking about the failures. I am talking about the first instance of our determination to do the things of the Lord in a wholehearted manner. So those two commandments, what the Lord said, love thy God with all thy strength, all thy might, and all thy heart, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And in those three chapters, those are the two major principles which the Lord has laid down. And if I am able to do, if we are all able to do those two principles wholeheartedly, and whatever the way the Lord has prescribed in the scripture, then we are all at the straight gate. Then entering into the life forever and enjoying the presence of the Lord and the portions which God has decided for us. And when we see the examples of example of our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him out of death, and was heard in that he feared. But in the margin it is written, having been heard for his godly fear. So the godly fear, it is also translated as for his cautious life, or the way he cautiously walked before God. So that means in his in godly fear, he carried that he should not, in any simplest matter of his life, he should not offend God. That means complete obedience to the things which God has ordained for his life as long as he is here. And that is the consciousness, or the way he has tread his path very clearly and carefully and cautiously. And to do that one, the way he spent time with the Father to draw strength and also the light, and also hear what the Lord was saying, the Father was saying to him to do, and also asked him to open his eyes to see what the God the Father was doing. So he saw what the Father was doing. He heard from the Father what the Father was saying, and he also understood what the Father was asking him to do, and he did. So for that one, then there is a marked separation of his life. And every day he was also doing the ministry. But at the same time, we see often times it is recorded that he was spending in prayer. So when we go to the Father, and expression of our nature, where we are, and also an expression of our complete wholehearted love to the Father to do His will, even in the simplest matters of this book, without compromising anywhere and anything. And that is the way we can say it is walking in the straight and the narrow gate. So each time when the Lord takes you to one step and teaching you to follow that one of the principles what He has laid down in the scripture, and every time there is a wonderful experience as He enlightens your heart and creates a desire and also makes the provision to enter in and appropriate His strength to appropriate that strength to do that principle in your life, then each time, step by step, He brings you closer and closer to the narrow gate, a straight gate. And that will be a wonderful experience, those who decided to follow the Lord till the end. And we see not only the separation from the things of the world, otherwise we have lots of attractions. And we can make the life very comfortable, convenient, without having any problems. So we can thrive in different things and make lives easy in so many ways, by compromising the values of our Lord Jesus Christ. But when you are separating yourself from the world, then there will be so many consequences for that. You need to pay the price. And when you do not compromise, then you can do anything and there is no problem. But when you are saying that I am the child of the light and I walk in the light and in all my activities, I would like to say what my God has asked me to do, that only I will do it. And the rest of the things I will not do it. I will not be part of that. I will not compromise and I will not agree to those things. So even if I have to walk out, but that there is a good conscience between my God and myself. Among those hearts when we see, and the Lord will pick up and will also enlighten their hearts to see further, and that increase the light which He has shown and shown obedience in the first step of their life, and it will continue to increase day by day and lead them to further, further and further, till they reach the gate. So in their onward walk towards that straight gate, even if they fail at times, but they have a desire, and with a repentable heart they come to the Lord. They don't give it up. And they ask the Lord, Lord, this is the way which you have ordained for my life, to find the divine approval to reach unto the end gate. And I am on that way. But sometimes my body is not cooperating. Sometimes my fallen nature is popping up. Sometimes there's a family and different things which are coming on my way. But I wanted to dedicate my life unto you, Lord. I enjoy reading your word. I love to pray, and I also love to praise your glorious name. And the more and more I learn to love your name, the nature which is the fallen nature which is working in me is now more and more is shown to me. And the more I have seen what I am as inward person and my repentance and also seeking forgiveness, and the way you are fixing my thoughts and my life is increasing my love towards you, the way that you are now building my life, what is fallen, the likeness and the image which is marred, and building up the same thing in the likeness of your Son, that is the beautiful, wonderful, beautiful thing to my life. And when a person says that, and the Lord rejoices, and He takes him, and He holds his hand, and He closely walks with him, and every day great blessings, and great transformation, and great work. But on the contrary, when we compromise, and the things will be easy, and so many ways, then though we are born again, we go to church, we do things very religiously, in outward form, but there is no strength inside. There is no power of God working. So we do things in an outward manner, as a religious way, that Sunday I have to go to church, or Thursday I go to the prayer meeting, or some other day I go to the Bible study. But I gain the knowledge. But as far as with a dedication, bringing those principles to work in my life, no, I don't really not give much importance, because it is very difficult. Who can follow all those things? And at the end, the Lord will forgive me. And I'm not saying the Lord will not forgive or forgive what he does and how he does, and according to the heart of that person and the Lord. But what I am saying is, when we do not do that, then there is a great blessing and the reward we will be missed out. So the Lord is cautioning the disciples. Then what would be the consequences of following these things, and what it is going to be the way for them? And one more example of our Lord, the book of John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 46. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? So, because of that prayer and godly fear, or cautiously walking in the presence of the God all the time, that nobody could convince him that there is a sin in him. And the book of John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. So, the night which he was betrayed, and the last discourse with his disciples, and his life was now 3.5 years, everything was done, then he told his disciples that he is now leaving, and in him, and the prince of this world is coming, and he has nothing in the Lord. That means he has not done anything which will really have the enemy to say something. And when he has spent his time continually in the presence of the Lord and drawn the strength to cautiously tread his path, which was ordained by the Father for him, and he completed that. Even before that was done, in the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So even before his death, burial, and the resurrection, the Lord, God the Father, has showed Peter, John, and James on the Mount of Transfiguration, and what is going to be his Son's position in heaven, and how he is going to be glorified, and how he will be declared as the Son of God, and Son of Man is now glorified, and he is going to occupy the position and the power, because he has tread his path in 3.5 years of ministry, and before the 30 years, and all the time just showed obedience to the Father, because he loved the Father, he did the will of the Father, and he completed his course. And we can see one more example, book of Acts, chapter 24, so verse 16. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. So those two mighty commandments, loving God and loving our neighbors. So he has exercised his conscience void of offense toward God and toward men both. Then you imagine, then the narrow gate and the straight gate, and the narrow way the Apostle Paul has tread in his entire life. And once he got the revelation, and for which he has been called, and he wanted to have that the resurrection from among the dead, not the general resurrection. And for that one, how he labored, and how he has fixed his life to be found always in the plan of God, to tread the path of God which was ordained by him. And every place, wherever he went, he was rejected. And he was almost beaten to death in many places. But he never lost the courage. And he always pursued his goal till the end of his life. And the Lord blessed him and also blessed so many people through his ministry. And so many other people, those who have chosen to walk in the narrow way so that they may reach that ultimate destination of life. It is not the talking about the eternal life, the light in its completeness, what the people have enjoyed here in walking with the Lord, and in reality seeing him in glory and entering into the spacious, light, glorious places. And in lives, oftentimes then in the beginning we may not know many things the way we ought to walk. But as we have the love towards God and the desire to do his will, the Lord shines in his heart, in those hearts, and continue to increase the light and brings them into the proper way of walking with him, teach them. And many things in the process, the relationships, the desires, and so many pursuits of the life will all be cut off. It is not that we left those things, and if we don't do and follow the Lord, but that is also not good. And when we leave certain things because of compulsion, otherwise my life, my whole life will still go and enjoy those things. And that is not the case. But when we come slowly and do the things of the Lord, and each bit by bit when we wanted to follow what he has laid down in the scripture, and we find it more and more very narrow and narrow in our path. So I find an example in the book of Matthew chapter 13 verse 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. So he was a merchant man. And his job is, his business is to buy and sell. And he sells what he has and he buys whatever he finds it very valuable, precious, and if he thinks that he can make more money out of it. But one day he found a very valuable pearl. Then he has sold off everything, whatever he has. He has only one pearl. And when he has now that only one pearl, now that means he is automatically out of business. He cannot sell. That is very precious for him, for which he has sold off everything. So that means then he is out of business. And he has only left with that preciousness of that pearl, what he found. So that is going to be the person's walk, those who are now walking in the narrow way. That means everything, whatever is considered as very precious, left everything. And in oftentimes, it is a single person continue to walk, not finding anyone who can really understand the burden, the heart, the way, and the life which continue to be pursued. And when God brings such an encouragement all the time, say, I am with you, and what a blessing would be that it is not something that our eyes are drawing an attention from the people, or seeking an encouragement from the people, but it is the Savior who has called us. And not everything is leaving slowly one by one and becoming very narrow and narrow in our relationships and our walk and our interests. And everything is becoming so much very in isolation or separation. So Paul thought that he had so many things of the past. He said, I consider everything is done, nothing. Let me pursue the way of my Lord. And I may be found in him. I may know him. And I may still attain him. I have not yet apprehended, but I may apprehend him. Apprehend for which I have been apprehended. That is, enter into the state gate. So when a man recognizes what he possesses here, the advantages or the disadvantages or the resources or the intelligence, everything, as we consider only they are equal to them. And what the Lord wanted us to start afresh. And with all the difficulties and the separations and the uphill tasks and the exertions in the on the way and the separation from many things and all the time walking in a solitary ground. When it comes to the religious aspect, when we see so many things which prevails in the people call churches and the doctrines, the things which are practiced, the things are not which are not there in the scripture, which are brought in by man-made systems and authorities which were created, and those are all making the walk easy for many people, those who pursue those things. But when you wanted to see what is written in the scripture and in the gathering or an assembly, these things we need to adhere and principally walk, and you don't find anybody that we can do these things with a real interest and zeal. And that is the sadness of the hearts of the people. Because what is convenient, we can do it. Otherwise, we see that in these days, that will not work. So that means we are already deciding what is written in the scripture, it cannot be done. And my question is, if it cannot be done, then why did the Lord put that? So you should have added another caption saying, from 2020 onwards, this cannot be, this is not applicable. We don't see any of those things written there. And what is written in the first century church? Now also, same God, same Spirit, same the law, same Lord. And in Him there is no change. I always find it difficult to see the principles which are laid down in the 1 Corinthians 14. And also chapter 12 and 13. And as many times we have seen again and again and again. And that is one thing remained not done. Because we find it very difficult. But if it is difficult, then why was it written? I don't know. That means we need to adopt that one. We need to have an earnest desire to do it. Yes, it is a straight path. Every day we must learn to live, understand, obedience, receive, and come to edify one another the way the Lord is asking us to do. But when we are compromising and when we are not spending enough time, then it is difficult to do that, what is written there. Or our focus is shifting from different things. This becomes a Sunday thing, so then it is difficult. And I want to live the way wherever I am not able to live, that is my earnest desire. And my prayer to all the families every day morning, that everybody, all of us, should have that a good heart to show obedience to our Lord. And whatever the Lord is speaking to each one, in a measure, whatever the way they understand, let us show obedience to the Lord with a simple heart. The Lord may bless all of us. Lord may all enable us to walk into that narrow way to reach the straight gate, to enter into the light. Then we don't need to talk much about the broad gate. Things of the world. So many attractions. So much easy life. And not answerable. Self-reigning. And your will is to be done in every matter. That is how the broad gate is. Not the will of God. My will. I. This is me. My interest. Then you see. Then that I and my and those things They also do not hesitate to change the scripture. That is the sad story of the Christianity. Because it is not convenient to them to follow it. And then hierarchies, the bishops, diocese, then archbishop, then so many ways of the titles. So if you see in the New Testament, there is no word called priest for the Church of God. It is in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it is a different order. But we see so many denominations, then the priest, this, that. But those are all things made because every believer, the way they are supposed to function, when they are not functioning, a priestly class developed and they took over. But that is not the order which is written in the scripture. And there are subsequent losses for that. When we walk and endorse those things, and if we don't have any understanding about why it is not like this, what is in the scripture, when we don't question ourselves, then it is easy for us to walk in the broad way. Then that is one thing. Then because of that, then there are so many things which will pop up, which is not written in the scripture, but still done on the gatherings. It is not good for us. The Lord loves all the brothers and sisters everywhere and wherever they are going. But the Lord wants to enlighten all our hearts and bring them to the proper way of life so that we may learn to walk with Him. Those things which are seemingly right now are satisfying to our desires and they may look good now, but there is a verse which we all should go through. Book of Proverbs, chapter 14. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So it is 14:12. And you see, and I can always say to myself and also may be able to convince other people which is not written in the scripture as right. But ultimately, that is bringing so much loss to the people. So everything that when we speak of only from the scripture and learning to interpret properly and open to understand the other ways of the Lord, how that needed to be implemented in our lives together, then the Lord protects us from every kind of distraction. So individually, and from the world, from the religious system, when a man separates himself and walking cautiously the way the Lord walked, and God has given him the knowledge, protection from the dangers of the enemy, and ultimately completed his course, and Father approved his life. And he said, "He is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Paul said at the end of his life, "I have run my course and my race. I completed my race. And now the righteous judge giveth me the crown of righteousness." And that is the way we all need to find encouragement and walk with the Lord in every step of our life. Though it seems difficult, and one thing at a time. And the Lord, as we come, kneel down, ask the Lord the wisdom to understand the complications of whether I am pleasing God or pleasing myself or pleasing my people. Or I wanted to be separate from myself, from the things of the world, or I am just involving more and more into the things of the world. I am just satisfied what the Lord gave me, or I am trying to thrive in more and more. And the Lord may encourage us with His light as we come to the presence of the Lord each day. And each day He may keep things in store for us. He may enlighten us and puts the new joy from the heaven and makes us to walk properly with Him. And He may bless our lives every day. Let us not compromise in any way, in all these things, either personally or worldly or in a religious system. Let us walk truly by spirit and love to the Lord and love to the brothers and sisters. Yes.
These two scriptures is more applicable to an individual believer. How can we bring this in a church context?
An individual believer, when he is properly walking with the Lord, to implement, to apply those principles in his life, automatically it can be brought into church setup.
So if I walk
properly in, for example, you take the 1 Corinthians 14. If I walk in line with what the Lord is asking me, and you are walking in line with me, and all the brothers are coming and prepare to do that one, Lord collectively binds us together to do that. And when I find it difficult to do it, I cannot give it up. And also in that Matthew 5, 6, 7, he didn't say everything. And all other things are also, when it is written, those also needed to be brought into the lives and tread in the same manner the way we have to do those three chapters.
So my thought here was, like, the whole thought line that is shared is exactly right, you know, unless and until we have that earnest desire to begin with. And the examples of the Lord in Hebrews was a classic example where we can say how he was perfected through the suffering. But my thought here is, if in a church context, one brother loves the Lord, but he is not able to or not willing to take that narrow gate. And in that context, I'm saying, how, as a body of Christ, though we understand that, you know, then we take a principle from 1 Corinthians also, where in a body of Christ, some are, you know, weak, some are strong. So is this something that we can think from that perspective? Because we cannot expect, as an example, he or she may have the love for the Lord, but at the same time, he or she also are unable to separate from the world completely, take an advocate. Can you have any example, brother, that you can share?
Book of John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So when we say the man, someone loves the Lord, but he is not do his commandments, and they both are not coherent according to this verse.
Yes, brother, that I completely agree. I mean, the love that the Lord is exhorting here is to not just simply stand, but also to walk with him.
Yeah, then only we can say that I love the Lord. Okay. I do this because I love the Lord. When I say with my word, my mouth, but from my heart there is no love, but that is not considered as a love to him by God.
But in a context, he is a believer, he has been saved by the Lord. But then the love is not manifesting it in the way the Lord is exhorting her to follow him wholeheartedly and obey what he is teaching. Then it's something too different thing, brother.
Can you come again?
Like, that brother is a saved brother. He's a soul. He has believed and trusted the Lord. But he is not able to love the Lord in the manner he should love to follow him wholeheartedly.
So then, in that context, we can only encourage him. But the real work to be done, as the Lord sees in his heart the desire, and last night also we have seen, the just shall live by the faithfulness of God.
Yes.
The just is the one who is bare open his heart and life. Suppose a brother is not able to walk with the Lord, what is that fallen nature which is stopping him If he really loves the Lord, he will come to the Lord with openness and tell him. And he will also ask the strength that lift me up, my Lord, and thy word is true, and I wanted to follow the truth. And give me strength. But when I do not have that kind of a heart, then Lord is not going to work in me. The basic thing, Jayanti, is this. Man should recognize the depravity of the heart of a fallen man. Then when we understand that one and come with a true confession, with a honest heart, to love the Lord, to follow him, the Lord will lift us up. And all these Matthew 5, 6, 7, I don't think that any man can do it. But a man who has a desire to follow the Lord, love the Lord, he will strengthens them, fills them with his spirit, enlightens them how to tread their path cautiously, the way the Lord has cautiously tread his. That provision he has made. And when a brother or a sister are not willing to come to that way, that means anyone, all of us, need to search our hearts, where we are, where my interests are lying, where my heart is. Where my heart is, that is where my treasure is, there my heart is. And that pearl merchant, his heart was on that one pearl, not on the 99 pearls what he had. And he sold off. And the same thing with the Paul and other apostles as well.
So in that context, what I'm trying to connect here, brother, is before we can look at a brother who is unable to take that narrow gate, the previous verses of judge not, you know.
No. This is, we don't judge them.
No. So instead of not being so concerned about that, why a brother or a sister is unable to, rather we continue to strive towards that narrow gate. And then also, if we see the multitude of sins are covered by, you know, the love, we are able to continually encourage them through prayer and, you know, through the support. The Lord only can do in the work of the life of that brother or sister.
That is true.
And then because the word says only a few find it. So the principle is very clear from the Lord. Not everyone.
Yeah.
Only a few will find it.
That is true. That's right. Our responsibility is to walk and also encourage and pray for the brethren. And if anybody is not showing interest, that is not our responsibility to judge and leave them. Otherwise, all these epistles were written. There are so many complications with so many people in the different churches. So if anybody says that I am righteously walking, so I don't want to talk to you, or I am a separated man, that is the most dangerous person.
Like you said, chapter 5, 6, 7 is impossible for one believer to attain everything.
That's right.
So even if one is not showing something, and another brother may have a better something, but he or she also may have some lacking.
That's right.
But as you said in the beginning, it is the earnesty of the heart the Lord is seeing first.
Yeah.
If that the desire is there, you only can, like, then the word will come. Who has begun the good work will complete it in the day of the Lord's coming. But for that, the Lord needs to see the earnest desire to walk with him. Then the Lord will make the provision.
Yeah. So the wonderful example is David, Jayant. So David is a God's own heart. He's a man of God's own heart. So he continually did what God wanted. And he always waited, prayed, known, did everything very nicely. If you read 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, we understand that. But when it comes to either Uriah and Bathsheba, and those are all big blunders. And we thought, why is such a man has committed these things and also numbered the Israeli army? So what it speaks of, the man is a man. And whenever the Lord, man is coming out from the relationship of God, there is an immediate danger to fall. So what the Lord did was, and he cautiously tread his path every day. That is what we are supposed to do. Otherwise, for a man to fall, it doesn't take even 1 minute. That is what is the nature which was there in us. And every day, that is when we do not wait on the Lord and receive strength and receive the light and show obedience in everyday life all the time, then we are bound to make mistakes. But those who have a desire to come up, overcome, the Lord will strengthen them. And for the failures, then we pay the price. And the Lord will take care of those things.
So can I conclude in my thought, brother, that the narrow gate can only be attained through suffering?
It is obvious. So when you are leaving everything, then there is only suffering left for us as a companion.
Because Hebrews 7, that's what the Lord
yes.
had to attain the perfection through the suffering, through the death, right?
So the Lord has spoken about a parable of that wedding garment. He said, at the end, there are many who are called, but few are chosen. And 2 Peter chapter 1 also, that make your election, calling and election, make sure. And Paul said, work out your own salvation. So all these things are referring to that narrow way and straight gate.
Thank you, brother.
So one brother told me that everything in the simplest matters, when we show obedience to the word of God, there is a great blessing in that.
Uncle, just to go back to Jayanth Uncle's point, I've heard an interpretation about the narrow way that is, the most common explanation is trials and sufferings, and that's why it's a narrow path, it's difficult to follow. But I've also heard that it has to do with it's very tough to lead a righteous life or an upright life.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also difficult to find the truth. So like entrance into salvation and also leading a righteous life in your life, that part is difficult, hence the narrowness of the way. So is there a better way of understanding it?
Can you come again, please? One more time?
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've heard a few explanations for the narrow way. So Uncle Jayanth just mentioned about the pain and suffering, hence the narrowness, because it's a difficult path to follow. But I've also heard, in addition to that explanation, that the way is narrow because, first of all, it's difficult to find. So obtaining truth for salvation is a difficult thing. But also, in addition to that, living a righteous life or an upright life in a world of sin and distraction where sin is very easy, hence the broad way. And then that's what makes the narrow way narrow or difficult to follow.
I'll just break it a couple of things. One is the truth for salvation. You mean the forgiveness of sins or attaining to the position or the whatever the Lord has decided for our lives?
No, I meant the former. So the common interpretation is the gate to the narrow way is Jesus Christ. So it's initial forgiveness of sins or salvation.
No, but these two verses are not speaking to the unbelievers. The Lord was speaking to his disciples. All these three chapters are referring to the walk of life, not about the gospel.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is why that is not there. The second one is, on the way, the sufferings are one of the things because of the separation, and you are trying to pursue the things which are not normally followed in the religious system or in the world or in the self-life.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is connected to the Lord and his word and the leading of the Spirit. So that brings the separation. That separation automatically in certain areas also causes suffering.
Okay.
Mm.
So then
the suffering automatically does not put you into the narrow path. When your narrow path means you are decided from the bottom of your heart to follow the ways of the Lord and pursue those things what the Lord has told you. In that one, first your self is crucified, and that is also a painful thing. Death, nobody likes it. And the second thing, the world, your body and your senses continue to enjoy those things as long as we live here. And those needed to be cut off. And the third thing, the spiritual aspects, what we were doing before, either knowingly or unknowingly, some of the practices, but they may not be all adhering to the principles which are in the written word. Then as more and more we understand, then the Lord brings the separation from all these areas our life. That brings the narrowness, because it is not something broader. We can accept anything or anywhere. And that narrowness brings in certain areas of our life suffering also.
Right. So in broad strokes, it is a separated life or living a righteous life. Yes. And then in that, a subsect of it is the sufferings or...
Yes.
Okay, got it.
And people may suffer, but not for this righteous cause. So we cannot say suffering is equal to narrowness. But while walking in the narrow way, suffering may be mostly come. So that is one of the things.
Great. Yeah, that was my understanding as well. So yes. That's perfect.
Yes.
And then I just wanted to clarify about, it mentions like restriction of the narrow way. So mm-hmm. I know you mentioned that because this was, Jesus was talking to the believers that it's not about salvation. Then how would we interpret restrictiveness of the gate?
Restrictiveness to enter in, because when the Lord has told the parable of wedding garment in Matthew 22, and also the laborers in that other parable, to Matthew 20. In these things, the Lord was saying, those who are called are few. That is how they are, whatever the Lord has commanded them to do, they did it, and they appeared with the wedding garment to the wedding. Other people have not taken that serious caution to weave a garment to be ready for the wedding, to attend the wedding reception.
Okay. So the restrictiveness is in the choosing part. So many are called, few are chosen?
Chosen. And that is where the restrictive part comes.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Uncle. Yeah.
And also, the Matthew 11:12 says that the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. So here, again, as you mentioned, Uncle, it is about the nature of God, you know, attaining the image of God, you know, the image of His Son in my life. And for that, because here the promise is the life, you know, the lead to the life. And when Lord saw me marked for eternal destruction, living in sinful state, and because I had the image of God, and then God wanted to save me from the death and to build that image that the of His Son be formed in me.
Yeah.
So the initial salvation that He has done, right? He has He took all my sufferings on Him, and then I have that entrance to the gate. But then from there, for me to attain that life, the life, and then I need to choose the narrow gate by violence, meaning going against my own self-will, going against the lusts of my flesh.
Yes.
and going against the pride of life.
All those things we need to, that is correct, Param. But one thing I just wanted to add this. When a person was born again, he is not at the narrow gate, but he is on the narrow way to reach the narrow gate. So the gate is the end point. Way is the beginning point where we all start our journeys.
Okay.
And to reach to that point, where the gate is seems very small, because you don't need a broad gate there. Not many people are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Is there trickling people, one or two coming in like that? It is not thousands from the flocks are not the very lot of people are not coming in.
Yeah.
That is why it was a small gate, and also it is speaks of. It is the pressing way. It is the people who are really pressed themselves, or as you said, that 11-12, the violent people enter by force. Yes. So they made that kind of a force in their life. So there also there is a religious system working. The old generation people, that was the Mosaic Law or the Old Testament, for them they have to leave that one. It is a big thing. And to see the beginning of the new dispensation in the Lord Jesus Christ, they could not accept that one. But those who are pressing themselves and to see these things, and they need to leave those things. That is what Paul did. And all the disciples, apostles did it. And then they found that in him, all the law is being fulfilled. I will leave those things. It is not actually leaving, but taking him and receiving him in my life is already being fulfilled. The law is already being fulfilled. I don't need to do any of those things. And that perception which has come into the hearts of those people, they have left those things. But we all need to encourage one another, and a desire the Lord may create in our hearts so that we may learn to walk every day and according to the desire of our heart. As you show obedience, as we show obedience, the Lord bless all of us and take us home there to the life.
So, brother, the verse which we have in 2 Corinthians, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course. Is that after walking the narrow way while entering the narrow gate?
Yes.
Or is it at the end of the narrow gate when
He reached the gate, and now it will be opened up for him. It is not yet open. He said it will be soon. So that is the end of his life he is writing.
So entering the gate is towards the end of the life?
Yes. And normally the roads will lead to the gate. And the gates are closed. It is the cities in the olden days has walls. And there are gates. So that is the entrance to the city. And the way is the beginning. These disciples were already on the way while following the Lord. And gate, if we were starting at the gate, we are coming out of the city. If we are reaching the gate, we are entering into the city. So now we are on the way to enter into the heavenly city.
Right. In that context, you take the narrow way and the broad way.
Yes.
Broad way leads to destruction.
Yes.
Destruction, eternal destruction?
No.
Or is it destruction is the temporary ones which we had that put it in the darkness?
Yes. That's right. Yes. Where there is not light, where there is a lot of other things are involved.
Separation from God.
Yeah, that's right.
And do they have an, after they go through, then they do they come to the gate, or do they have a separate entrance to, I mean, because the narrow gate is the one for the overcoming life, those people
press towards that in righteousness and uprightness. People who have gone through Broadway, after they've spent that time of separation, do they come back to this narrow gate and enter, or do they have another entrance?
That is not clear, but we can see one verse, Book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So what is the day of the Jesus Christ? So in general terms, it is the coming of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if he has begun good work, and he will perform it and complete that one. But if it is not completed, then the Lord completely changes the order of the earth and the heaven, and he comes, the Father comes down to the earth. Then all the people who are born again but did not enjoy the privilege of the millennial period, in that period when he performs that work, then he will also bring them to be with him in the eternal kingdom. Because the eternal life is the gift which is given by him, and that will not be taken back if they are truly born again. So he will perform that one. So this entering into the narrow gate is in connection with talking about the kingdom of heaven. Entering into the ruling of 1,000-year period with him in glory. So in that context, that is called life, and those who do not enter, that is called destruction. But whether these people will be completed in their course, they will complete in that period of 1,000 years. Whatever they have not completed the course of sanctification, they will complete that one, because without sanctification, no man shall see God. So once they are born again, truly accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave them the eternal life, and they need to be found in the presence of the Lord. And that would be done at the end of 1,000-year period, at the white throne judgment. And that time they would come out. Since their names are written in the book of life, they will go to the life. So there is a different gate, or how they would come out, that entrance, I don't know that. But this broadly, I understand this is the way the Lord would work. So it is good for all of us to allow the Lord to work when, before the Lord's coming here. So the preciousness of that calling and the things which the Lord is promising for us should really grip our hearts.